I'm glad to welcome you to this meeting. We are competing with the sun outside, I see, but I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you we come here to this meeting, which I think is an important topic. I call it, will it make a difference? And one interpretation of that is, should we care about it? And I think it's important that we care about this directive and all the issues that it opens up. A lot of people have already shown that they care about it, and on the protest that's on the web, some 10,000 people have signed protest against the directive. But even if you're not against it, I think it's, or if you don't have made up your mind about the directive, I think this is a very important issue to have an informed discussion about. It's an important new step or development of the modern information society. And I think it's very important that the academic community takes part in this discussion and contributes with research perspectives on it. And the presenters today, as you probably know from the invitation, is Lee Bygrave from Oslo, is a legal scholar. We have Joris van Hoboken from Information Law in Amsterdam. We have Dag Johansen, who's from Computer Science in Tromsø, and we have Sandra Brayman from Communication in Wisconsin-Milwaukee. I think it's very important to have this interdisciplinary perspective on the directive, and I think we'll have a rich discussion here today. What I now want to do was to just go very quickly through some basic points about the directive to make sure that everybody is on the track. The first issue that will come up here is, will it be implemented in Norway? That's not quite decided yet. There is a process, and it will be, but there is this, the issue, the question whether it's really, will Norway have to implement it as part of the EU-US agreement is not quite settled, but it's probable. What kind of data will be stored? It's about is transaction data or traffic data, not the content of messages. So it's data from fixed telephony, mobile telephony, internet access, email, and internet telephone. And data that will be stored is data necessary to trace the identity of the source of the communication. So it's the calling telephone number, the name and address of the subscriber, the user ID, and the name and address of the IP address. And then the data will be stored that is necessary to identify the destination of the communication, which is the number called and the name and address of the addressee. And then there's the data necessary to identify the type of communication, the means of communication, and the communication equipment, and also the location of in the case of mobile communication. So this is the kind of data we are talking about, but it's, at least it's, as it is in the directive, it's not the content of the message. Important to remember that. The motivation mentioned is, of course, to fight serious crime, and terrorism in particular is mentioned as part of the motivation. It's relevant to compare what is stored today. A lot of transaction data are stored today, but to a lesser extent for a shorter period of time, and it's basically stored for purposes of making or commercial purposes. So today the service providers have the right to store the data, but the directive will make it a duty. Much of the type of data is stored also today in Norway, but email and IP telephone data is not stored today, in Norway at least. And for how long, that's an issue. It's, the directive requires from 6 to 24 months. It's up to each country to decide this period of time. It's up to each country to define serious crime. And there was a recent hearing in Stortinget that discussed this, and Kripos then said that for practical purposes, what goes for as serious crime today is data used for the investigation of drug-related crimes, child porn, trafficking of children, and investigation of serious cases of armed robbery. And the cases that I mentioned in this discussion, it's Baneheia, Nokas, and Lommemannen, right? Okay, and also, so this is this kind of argument, and it's Then the question about the access to the mechanism for access to the data is one important issue. Today, the balls are accessed by force, that you have to have a judge to give the permission, or that the service providers can give out the data as part of a kind of witness statement. The Ministry of Justice in this hearing said that they will probably go for a stricter and rule that says that it's only the forced mechanisms that will be required in the implementation of the directive in Norway. And then, of course, there is the privacy cost that we will talk a lot about today. I won't go into details about this, but the increased risk of misuse is one issue. That is an unclear purpose. Usually, data is stored for some particular purpose, but here is some more open. The problem of false positives, that people are suspected for things that I have done, the risk of that. Will everybody become a suspect? Will there be a loss of citizens' trust? And will this involve a restriction on free speech in the private sphere in, as a consequence of this? Okay, these are only some of the issues that will come up in discussion, but we'll start by way of presentation or discussion of this directive in a Norwegian legal context. And to do this, we have been lucky and had Associate Professor Lee Bygrave from the University of Oslo, private law. He has a long background from the computer and law research in Oslo, and he's also a member of the Personvern Commission, the Data Protection Commission in Norway. So please, Lee.